Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez. And today we're going to talk about how a practicing lawyer morphed into managing global hiring and client development for a global 20 law firm. Our guest today is Craig Budner. Craig is a global strategic growth partner for K&L Gates, a global law firm with 48 offices and approximately 2,000 lawyers on five continents. In his role, Craig manages the global recruiting and integration functions for the firm. He also manages the firm's global business development, marketing, and media relations functions. Additionally, Craig serves on the firm's management and advisory committees. Welcome to the show, Craig.
Guy, it's great to be here. I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you. And it's a pleasure to have you. And thank you for making a little time for us today. We really do appreciate it. Tell me a little bit about how you made the transition from a practicing lawyer into managing, you know, hiring and client development to huge roles at K&L Gates.
You know, it's a little bit of a journey. My legacy firm was Hughes & Luce, and we merged with K&L in January of 08. And I had resisted, I was on our executive committee at Hughes & Luce, but I resisted being a managing partner, and we had a great one at the time. But as kind of a condition of the merger, we discussed me taking over as the office managing partner in Dallas for the firm. And I was a big supporter of the merger, and so I felt it was kind of my responsibility to be the office managing partner, which I did and really enjoyed it. It takes years off your life, but it was an important time, and it was important to recruit new talent into the firm. That led to starting our Houston office. So I got a lot of experience with hiring. And so I kept my practice going, a commercial litigator, business fraud litigator. I kept that going. But when I started to travel back and forth to Houston, you know, sometimes three times a week, I just wasn't able to give the day-to-day attention to client matters that I used to be able to. So I kind of morphed into more of a management side of the house. That was like in 2016. And then was asked to take over lateral hiring globally when the woman who had really ably run lateral hiring and integration stepped down after 20 years. And then when our CMO left about 4 years ago, was asked to take that on as well. I had been involved in key account client work, and I had been involved in some international work outside the U.S. with our other offices, kind of making sure we were smartly collaborating with each other and trying to infuse some energy around that. And so I guess that's why they thought of me to do it. And I've really enjoyed it. It's energized my career and given me a perspective I didn't have.
I love it. That's great. So, Craig, who inspired you to make this change? It's a scary change. I mean, I'm a former practicing lawyer. You know, I left. I started my own digital marketing agency. So it's a little scary to jump from one thing to the other, even though you stayed at your firm. Who inspired you? Who did you look at when you were thinking about making this change?
Well, the key function, my view that law firm world was changing and that marketing, or the old terms, were no longer applied and it needed to be more active. So I felt passionately that we needed to be more intentional about using the resources we had. And so that inspired me. I know that's not a person, but that was an observation I had made. And then the new leadership of K&L Gates. So Pete Kalis was the managing partner for almost 20 years. He inspired me in a lot of ways and entrusted me to do a lot of foundational pieces that led to me taking this role. But the trust that I have in our current leadership, Jim Sagerdahl and Mike Cassis, our global managing partner and chairman, and their vision for giving me the room to run with it and make mistakes and, you know, kind of being a non-CMO, holding that CMO role, and their commitment to continue to grow the firm laterally, which we've done, you know, I think quite successfully over the last 7 years. So that was really the trust and the inspiration.
I love it. So what would you say were some of the lessons that you learned by being a practicing lawyer that enabled you to, you know, transition or thrive at your current role? What were the things that you learned as a practicing lawyer that helped you?
You know, it's a little bit being the consumer of the resource, or the client, as I like to call it internally, helps you to kind of understand how valuable people on the client development, business development, we call it client growth team, are. Understanding the challenges of joining, you know, a huge firm laterally, and how to potentially overcome those challenges and help those laterals with the resources they need to succeed. Those were some of the observations that I made. And then really, once I took the job, which, you know, we didn't know if it would be interim or a more permanent basis, really meeting with the key leadership team in the business development function and understanding how talented they were and how much more they wanted to do and thought they could do. So we realigned the department and really tried to organize it with the support of our management committee to make it a more effective and revenue driven group. So actually doing more tasks that touch the client and that generate revenue for the law firm.
And what would you say has been the biggest challenge as you made that transition?
You know, I think it's twofold. One is to keep a big picture perspective. Any given day could pull me into a rabbit hole, whether on lateral partner hiring or integration or business development, that could monopolize my time. And so really being effective in figuring out what it is I really need to get involved with and what we have talented people who can handle it and drive that initiative. And so as a litigator, it was a bit tempting for me to get into the weeds sometimes, but I realized pretty quickly how talented our people were and how I didn't always need to jump into every situation that was calling me.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So you mentioned a little earlier that you see the state of business development and marketing at law firms changing. How is it changing, and where is it heading? What are you seeing coming in the future?
You know, Guy, you've probably seen these articles about how business development, CMOs are, you know, rotated in and out every couple of years, and it's a very difficult job to have. And I think it's a difficult job to have because firms have not set appropriate boundaries for what the value proposition is of the client development team. You know, you'd ask some partners before I took over, and they really might view a business development professional as a glorified legal assistant. You know, pull together a PowerPoint for me, pull mm-hmm. together a pitch for me. Today, I think with all the competitive intelligence and the emergence of AI, which I know has been a topic of your conversations in the past, you know, there's just more expected. But, you know, it used to be, well, table stakes is you're a great lawyer. Table stakes is you know their business, you know their industry, and hopefully have a starting point insight into the challenges and opportunities that that company is facing before you can even have a conversation with the client about them entrusting you with their legal work. So I think it's really incumbent on all firms, and I think this is where the profession is heading, to make sure their partners understand the business development function is not a administrative function. It is a function that has to be used to target clients and understand how you can effectively create a client experience journey that is one that's going to be positive and memorable for that client. So I think that's where this world of ours is heading. And we better understand and use all the tools at our disposal to maximize pricing data, understand, you know, the background of these companies, and understand who in the law firm has the right relationship to start that pursuit if it's a prospective client.
Do you want to start a successful podcast that will generate leads for your law firm? At Good2Be Social, we work with many different law firms and help them to produce and promote their podcasts. Podcasts today are more popular than ever. In fact, today's internet users routinely use podcasts on a monthly, weekly, or even daily basis to stay informed and be entertained. As this medium continues to grow, law firms don't want to fall behind and need to move beyond traditional written content and onto the digital airwaves. Unfortunately, when it comes to podcasting, many legal marketers aren't sure about where to start. With our latest ebook, The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting, readers can learn how to choose a format, a topic, and a name that will get you noticed, how to select and reach out to potential guests, the technology and the recording basis you know to produce a successful show, as well as how to measure the success of your podcast. So hurry now, go to the Good to Be Social website and look for the Law Firm Guide to Podcasting ebook. I love what you just said, and I could not agree more. I find that a lot of times what law firms and lawyers fail to do is invest a significant amount of time in researching their clients or prospective clients and really learning what's important to them and you know, where they need help and where there's growth opportunities for their business. And I agree with you. I think that the biz dev role is not an administrative role. It's really a strategic role. And it's a strategic role that can really help in either gaining more business from your existing clients or, you know, getting new business from new clients. So I completely agree. And I love exactly everything you said,
Thank you.
So you're a lawyer and you know that not every lawyer gets what business development is all about, right? They don't teach you business development in law school, that's for sure. But in today's world, you know, if you're not out there generating business, your usefulness sort of diminishes. What tips would you have for lawyers who are listening to us who are new to business development or perhaps need some help in figuring out how to, you know, really excel from a business development perspective?
It's a great question. I think the first thing is to be curious. We lawyers kind of come out of the womb a bit thinking that we should be the star of the show and talk and present and convince, when it's really, we need to start by asking questions and to have a genuine curiosity in what your client's business actually is and what they need is going to help you to really have those beginning conversations that give you the tools to follow up later and have a conversation about potentially offering them something specific. It's a bit like, you know, the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot of work that goes into it. And so just learning how to be curious, understanding your law firm's skill sets, what are selling advantages of your law firm to clients, where have you had examples of success? Those are that next stage. So you're curious, you form relationships with people, you don't have any agenda, you then understand what might be a good fit for that client over time as that conversation continues. And then ultimately you have the pitch or the opportunity that can become the foot in the door with that relationship. So I think, you know, not to be intimidated, I guess, would be my takeaway to a young lawyer just starting out. It's the same things you do to be a good friend, a good spouse, a good parent, a good child, you know, just to really understand what's going on in the heads of the businesses and executives that you would be serving. And then, you know, you add a little bit of watching really great business developers do it, and you're going to be in opportunities to be successful. They won't always hit. A little bit more like baseball than other sports. The percentages are going to be lower, as you know. That's okay, because a lot of clients say no the first time. And if you stick with them, they will say yes over the long term. So don't be intimidated. It's not just for people who are gregarious and fun at a party or things like that. The best business developers are substantive, and they do their homework and they build relationships methodically.
And I agree. It doesn't happen overnight, right? I tell many of my clients, just because someone signs up for a webinar doesn't mean they're ready to hire you, right? The timing has to be right and the need has to be met. But certainly staying top of mind and reminding people that you're there and what you're doing is really, really important. So one of the other things I've learned is, you know, being a good business developer or having a leader in business development at a firm is sometimes not enough. You need a really good team to really make things happen. Tell me a little bit about the emerging role of business development teams at law firms. You know, what does it look like at K&L Gates? And, you know, why do you think having good BD teams is important?
Well, it's these are the people who can help evangelize what the strong offerings are of your lawyers. We're, you know, as you know, almost 2,000 lawyers, 48 offices on 5 continents. If you don't have a connective tissue among the allied professionals who are client facing, then you are, you know, taking a step backwards. You're not taking a step forward. And we're a single profit center model, so we're fully integrated and we incent our lawyers to understand and use the lawyers outside of their offices and practices. And so having a great business development team means that you've got people on our team who understand client industries. They can have standing with partners to make suggestions about how the partners are to ought to target their time and energy and give them the tools to succeed. We essentially have aligned around 3 basic functions: MarCom, which is, you know, the brand while you sleep, media relations, website, things like that. Strategic development, which sits with the practices and industry groups, and then client engagement, which is our market facing, client facing group. Those are 3 big tranches, and then we've got centers of excellence that kind of sit within that, and they're basically the repeatable tasks. So how do we maximize our alumni network? How do we maximize our general counsel roundtable offerings, our diversity efforts as they relate to business development activities, pitches and proposals, getting more efficient with RFPs? So that's kind of the basic structure.
I think that's fantastic. That's a really great way to structure a department. All right. Well, Craig, I know you're a busy guy, so I don't want to hold you longer than I can. Really appreciate you being here with us today. But before I let you go, you know, would you maybe have some word of advice or a takeaway for some of our listeners who perhaps are, like I said, a little bit intimidated with business development, don't really know where to start? You know, what would you say to them?
I would say it's just take baby steps. Just try to change your habits gradually. I know a lot of people know about the book by James Clear, Atomic Habits, and there are a lot of great books and theories on this. The thing I like about James Clear's book is that it's about how to atomic is, of course, atomized, meaning smaller, not atomic like Oppenheimer atomic. So the small changes in your habits, if you stay consistent, you know, carving out like 10% of your week to do just a couple of things to get out of your comfort zone and reach out and start making connections and be curious, just start somewhere and keep building it. Keep rewarding yourself when you do. Don't reward yourself by your results. Reward yourself by your effort and make sure that you're talking to people and getting a trusted mentor to kind of help you make your efforts more efficient. That's what I would say.
That is fantastic advice. Thank you so much for that. Okay. Well, to our listeners, I hope you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did. If you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, please go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe there and you can check out some of our past great episodes. Craig, thank you so much for making time for us today. It's really been a pleasure having you. I wish you all the best of luck as you continue in your new role at K&L Gates. And we will add your LinkedIn profile, your Twitter handle. I should mention also, Craig does a podcast called K&L Gates Client Conversations, which is great. So we'll also add a link to that on the show notes. Craig, thank you so much for your time again. I really enjoyed having you, and who knows, perhaps we'll get you back on sometime in the future.
I'd love it, Guy. Thank you. It was an honor to be on.
Thank you so much. To our listeners, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. We will see you next time.